Okay, again, we're on the top of page Resh Samach Zayin in the Sefer Bilvavi. And yesterday we discussed how a person has to really, the first step is a person has to be real with his feelings and to know what your real Ratzon is and what Ratzon is stronger. Is your Ratzon stronger, for example, as he used the analogy of eating? Do you have a stronger Ratzon to eat or a stronger Ratzon not to eat? So we'll repeat that the first two lines again that we ended off with yesterday. L'chol adam yesh ratzon. Every person has a ratzon. Every person has something they truly, really want. And more than that, ilu yatlu mina adam es hadavar shu b'emes reitzeh. And if we would take away from a person the thing that he really wants in life, that he wants oto yoser mikol, the thing he wants more than anything else, there is something that we all have that we want more than anything else in the world. If we take that away from that person, yinazeh kashos, he'll be very hurt. Yitachen sha'af yamus, and a person will even possibly die from that. Gemara tells a story about a person who had a great, incredible ratzon, a drive, a lust for another Jewish girl. The problem is they weren't married, and it wasn't the appropriate ability to get married. But he wanted this woman very much. And the doctor said, if he doesn't have this woman, he will die. He will really die. And then the rabbi said, you can't do it. You know, can't be with her. He says, well, how about just to look at her? Gemara says, can't do it. So Gemara says, better he should die than do even the slightest aver with her. So what do you see from that story? The person has such a strong ratzon, and the Gemara acknowledges the guy would die. Or very likely, very life in danger. Doesn't matter. You can't do an aver at that expense. But you see that is a very, very strong thing. So we have to be careful now. Here's the point he's going to say. Let's say regarding the eating. If a person really wants to eat, he really wants to eat, and go on a diet, you can't stop eating. That's the wrong thing, because a person will literally die from it, or almost die, or feel like he's dying. And no one can remain on a diet if that's how they feel. Remember, the first three letters of diet is die. D-I-E. Die. And that's the problem. People would rather die than diet. Because you can't go on that way. Because you can't live without that which you want so badly. So he continues. These words can be revealed to our eyes. L'mashal, for example. There's a person who is drive for money, takes a great place in his life, and fills his whole world. Yesh Pershuso Masaim Elav Dollar. He has in his possession $20,000. $200,000. Masaim Elav Dollar. $200,000. But Masaim Elav Dollar Ha'elu Masikino So Yom Yom Shah Shah. And that $200,000. He's so involved in that money day to day, hour to hour. Kolzman u'orach la'atzmo cheshbonos ech yaviach o'itam v'ma yeshkiya v'chulo. All day long, he's figuring in his mind, making all kinds of calculations, how am I going to make more profit in it? What should I invest it in? Etc., etc. It's something that's constantly on his mind. Now, im yodio ke'es lodom zef, we would let this guy know. This is what he talks about all the time, his investments. Right? Everything he talks, he's online all the time, online trading, etc., etc. It's mamish. He's got a lot involved in that. And if we would tell him now, Shekola keser shoy b'shuso eni yoser. Nevad. We tell him all the money that he owns, it's gone. It's lost. It's all in Nortel stock. Okay? Alright? Hu yisalev, he'd faint. V'tachin shaf yomus, and perhaps he might even die. Calls Oslama, why is this? Kivin shakon lakuda sachaim shalo, kivishu tofes osa, elu osam masayim elof dollar. Because his whole point of life, the way he appreciates it, are those $200,000. Ukeshe nitelas mimenu es kol mashu ro kachaim. And if what he sees is what life is all about, if it's all been taken away from him, then what happens? Lokach lemenas etzem achaim. You took away his essential life. Based on his level. And you've left him literally to die. Because he can't live without that. Klomer, meaning to say, and here's the point, he stresses, Es nekudas achaim shal madregas ha'adam asur lokachas mimenu, mipnei shalukichaso mimenu, alulu lahamiso. The point of life on every person's level, in other words, that thing which he yearns for most in life, it's forbidden to take it away from him, because taking it away from him could bring him to death. Can't take it away. This might be one of the explanations why there is an Hilchus Tzedakah, but you know, again, it has to be understood in the broader context of Tzedakah. There is such a concept where appropriate that if a person is used to a certain standard of life, which is a higher standard of life, and he loses all his money, that if there is ample tzedakah resources to go around, and I give that as a big if, right, then you're required to give him tzedakah based on living in the lifestyle he's used to. If he's used to a person, going in a fancy carriage, right, and somebody calling out his name in advance of his approach, and he lost all his money, you have to provide him with that. So the question, obvious question is, why? Everybody else can live without it. The answer is, but he can't live without this. He can't live without this, and he will die if he doesn't have that covered. Now again, that's when there's unlimited tzedakah dollars. When there's limited tzedakah dollars, and there's people, now there's soldiers who don't even have flak jackets, okay, whose lives are in danger, or people in Toronto who don't have food to eat. So then, you know, the rich man is welcome to have the food to eat that every poor man has, because you just can't, you know, there are priorities of where you're going to spend your money. But all things being equal, okay, and, or rather all things not being equal, and there is unlimited money to go around, there is a, so of course, you know, does that mean we do this? And obviously we're not going to do this halacha very often, because there usually is not a lot of tzedakah dollars to go around. So what's the point of saying the halacha? But the point of saying the halacha is to appreciate that the rich man, even if you're not going to have the money to supply the rich man with all that, you have to realize that he's dying. That's what you have to realize. Even if it's a mishigas, even though, you know, 95% of the people in the world will not be so upset they don't have somebody announcing their arrival of a new place, and they don't have to have a golden carriage, right? I'm okay with a Honda. Okay, you know, but, you know, that's his problem. It's his problem. Let him get over it. Let him get used to living with a Honda. But the answer is he doesn't know how to. He mamish can't. You should know, in many ways, rich people are extremely weak, because they wouldn't know how to clean their house. They wouldn't know how to do anything. They're mamish, they're so soft in certain ways. They wouldn't know how to live without it. They could not make a simcha, you know, without, you know, making the Sefer Rebbe come from New York to come for a kid's bar mitzvah in their house. Okay, they just couldn't live through such a simcha. They couldn't live through it. So so there's an aspect that you have to supply. Not that we necessarily will, but to realize that that guy is dying. If you go, well, we gave him some food, what's his problem? You gotta realize he is dying, so at least have some compassion. At least that you have to appreciate what he's going through, right? So similarly, you know, let's say in kiruv situations, right, where a person is used to a certain lifestyle, so you have to be careful to not take away the person's nekudas achaim, the thing that he lives for in the beginning of his process. So if the guy's coming to you with his shiksa in his arms, right, you don't say the first thing to him is get rid of your shiksa. Because that person would rather die than give up the shiksa. And if you tell him to get rid of the shiksa, he'll say goodbye with you. Right? And the truth of the matter is, for that matter, you know, even people who have been frum all their lives, who can't stay away from unholy websites, you just tell them to get away from the website, cold turkey is something that they wouldn't be able to do either. Again, the point he's going to say and say over and over, of course we want him to get rid of it. Of course, we want the guy to get rid of the shiksa. There's no question about it. But what you have to get is you have to change his wantings first. When his wantings change, then he knows himself he'll want to get rid of the shiksa. And the guy himself will want to get off of that website. But it's only once his wantings have changed. And that's why to try to just pull the wanting out, it's usually not going to work. It's not going to work. And you're killing the person. So you imagine, you go to, you're trying to be makarv somebody, and you tell them, you know, you better stop doing that. If not, you know, you're going to burn in hell. This guy says, well, if I stop doing this, I'm dead. So I can't do that. You can't make people do things that they feel are inimical to their welfare. And the guy says, my shiksa is everything I have in life. Eating tray food, I can't live without my tray food. So you're asking them to do more than they're capable of doing. So you have to be careful and not to demand things that are beyond a person's reach. But you have to work more on changing their attitudes. And that's why you'll see, for example, learning Torah is kind of important. Learning Torah can change attitudes. And that's what you're trying to accomplish when you're learning Torah, not just, you know, interesting information. That's why, you know, a lot of this, you know, stuff about, you know, when Mashiach's going to come and all that stuff, it doesn't really make people any frummer, and it doesn't really change much attitudes. It's more of the nuts and bolts of what life is really all about. Those are the things you got to really focus on when you try to be makarv people. Yes, Sam, you've been very patient. Yes. You still have a question?
The example you gave first, or at least the motion you gave us about the guy who said, let him die, when he was looking at the other women or whatever it was, says, let him die.
Yeah, but that's, the guy wants to do an Avera.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't
it? No, it's not. If the guy's got the shiksa, it's one thing. The guy wants the shiksa, then forget it. You know, we can't allow him to break a law, a new law that he hasn't broken. He hasn't broken the law, so
then you let him die.
And the truth is, he only thinks he's gonna die. If he already has the shiksa, maybe he would, but there's a difference. We can't condone it. We can't say the guy has not sinned. Okay, go right ahead and sin now. That we can't do. We can't do. And more than that, there are three averos that you have to die for. And that's one of them. Immorality is one of the three that you have to die for. That's all there is to it. You know, so this was immorality. So this one, we let him die.
So this dying is relative, really. Depends on the situation.
Yeah, the point we're making here, and that, like, you know, don't let the examples, you know, get you off track. Or the point we're making here is, we got to know what is it you really want, because what you really want, you will not give up short of death. And that's the critical point. The person who's an alcoholic cannot give up his booze. He'd rather die. So you have to realize the person would rather die. And that person, that's why when they go to these rehab centers, the first thing they're watching out is they're afraid these people will kill themselves. Why are they afraid they're going to kill themselves? You know, you go in, they check your bags. You know that? They check everything that you bring in there. And you're almost short of treated like a criminal. I mean, they still talk nicely to you and all that, but they're suspecting that you could do the worst things when you're in there because you're ready to die. So that's got to realize that's what the person is going through. If as a support for people, a community has to realize that's how far gone they are. And when you're ready to die for something, you don't act normal. And you're wondering, why is this person doing this? They're crazy. Because, you know, don't they see that another drink, what this drinking has done to them? They do, but if you take it away, that means they're going to feel that they're dead. So a desperate person does desperate things. So that's why, again, that whole idea of rehab. Okay, but they don't have an answer because they realize that you got to stop them from drinking. If you don't stop them from drinking. So it's a very difficult thing. How you get them to stop what they're doing. Okay, so, you know, so when you're talking about drugs and that kind of stuff, where they're killing themselves with the drugs, if you don't do anything, they will kill themselves. So now what are you going to do? Let him kill himself with the drug, or let him maybe kill himself by not having the drugs? Well, you know what? You got to get him out of the drugs. But you got to keep a good eye on that person. And now what you got to do is in that rehab time, you got to work on their understanding to change their desires. And that's what makes it so difficult. That's why most of these drug rehab, I think the statistic is, if I'm not, somebody told me that the people who go to these, you know, like 6 weeks, that success rate is only 20%. It's only 20%. And this is like spending $10,000 on the person. At best, it's long-term success is 20%, which is still better than nothing. But you could see how even that doesn't help because the person can't change. So now we're talking about eating, overeating. You know, a person doesn't see that as life-threatening, right? The doctors see it as it. So, and now we're talking about mitos and other things. So you have to realize what you're up against and, you know, you have to be realistic in what you're asking for. So it's not, you know, the wise rabbi is not telling people to stop doing things. You know, he's trying to change their attitudes. You know, okay, certain things he's got to say, but he's got to change their attitudes. When the attitude changes, then the battle is won. Okay, so let's continue. Aloso Mishko, based on this weighing of the facts, im nekudazu krova lechayusa, if this point is close to his life, hareisha belikachasa ha'omad b'matzer shachol masuka. So when you're taking it away, he is like in the situation of a deathly ill person. To the degree the person believes that what this thing is the essence of his life, so we have to try, a little bit to engage in trying to take away this thing. I mean, you got to try a little bit. I mean, you got to realize it's going to be hard. Okay, or better yet. I think the better translation is here. To the degree a person feels it's his life, he's not going to work so hard on getting rid of it. If you feel this is your life, even though you're going to say, I'm going to go on a diet, but you're really not going to work so hard on it. And then your brain will say what you should do, but your real wanting is, I don't want to stop. So you're really not, and therefore this idea of sabotaging one's own plans comes into play. Why would somebody sabotage your own plans? You just got up and told me how you can't stand being overweight, how you hate yourself, and this and that on the one hand. So I'm going to stop eating. So now why are you eating that chocolate fudge ripple? Mm-hmm. Right? Why are you sabotaging? Why'd you bring it home from work? Right? Because the truth is, it's saying one thing, but you're feeling totally the other thing. Totally the other thing. Salvotas Adam, the service of a person, Efo, Eina Lakachas Master Sachaim, isn't to take away your life. Races of Lahavin Hechin Heim Hachaim Amitim. The first thing is to understand where is true life. That's the trick. What you think is your life, that's all of an imagination. That's not the emes. There is a true thing you should be living for, and that's what we got to get you focused on and understanding. Laseis Mishkal Lachaim Hamitim Keneged Hachaim Mishkarim. We have to weigh and balance true life goals versus false life goals. And you have to find a way to show the person that, you know, a healthy diet is what you really want. That's your true life goal. Eating junk food is a false life goal. Now you've got to find a way to teach the person that concept. So you could do it by showing all these movies and things like that and you know, lots of medical information and ideas of self-esteem and what drives people to eating. And you got to get into the psychology of all this and get the person to understand the psychology of that and to understand, you know, and if you want to be more religious, how Hashem does not want you to eat four kugels on Shabbos. This is not the Ratzon of Hashem. You are saying, you're excusing it as L'Kavod Shabbos. People have a propensity to eat a lot. They enjoy this part of Judaism, right? And you got to show them this is not what Hashem wants, and this is not... You know, the people still think, you know, whatever you eat on Shabbos, you're not going to gain weight. It's totally a lie. I don't know where it began from. I don't know who started it. Probably an overweight person started it, right? But it's totally not true. It's mamish not true, right? So you got to teach people that that's not true. And then when to get the attitudes to shift. La'at la'at, and slowly, slowly. Lenasos lahargish esachaim amiti, that they could slowly, slowly feel what true life is. As once they begin to see what true life is, then it's possible to take away from him later on what he thinks now is his life. And that's many of Baal Tshuva will attest to this. When they look back a few years back in life as to what they're not doing, right, and to what they are doing, and to say, wow, 5 years ago, you never have believed I would be doing this. You're right, you wouldn't. Because 5 years ago, he would have rather died than gone to shul on Shabbos. Right? But now that he understands things in a true way, then it's not in conflict with what he wants. As long as a person feels this thing is his life, even if it's totally false, that life you cannot, it's impossible, and it's prohibited to take from this person, and you cannot go make the person go cold turkey in those areas. Okay, next page. Reish Samaches. Zoi Avoda Harishonis B'chol Dover. This is the first step of service for anything in life. Lahargish asachayim b'tzura nechona, to feel life in the right way. L'da'as ma'a davershu b'emes achayim, to understand what is true life. U'ma'a davershu dimu achayim, and what is impersonating life. To leave the world that you think is the world of what you're living for, and to enter into the world that is truly what one should be living for. So let's go back to the food example. Keeps coming back to this. So the example regarding the desire to eat. This question of to eat or not to eat, that is the question. This is really not the practical question that has to be asked over here. You have to understand the root of these things and the true weight that these things carry. So the question really is to die or not to die. That is the question. Not to eat or not to eat. Because if you see, if the person thinks, okay, how much do I really want to eat? I want to eat more than anything else in this world. So that now it's not a question of to eat or not to eat. The question is to take away what I want more than anything else in this world or not. Right, so that's altogether a different question. Okay, now, Labria Yeshnam Shnei Sharashim. So in creation, there's two roots. Umikan Be'etzem Sharish Kol Advarim Shivarna Adashav. And with this, we can really understand the main root of everything we've been talking about. Sharish Echad Humasha Boyre Ha'olam Rotzeh. One root in creation is what God wants. That's one root. That's a big source of creation. And it's all over the place, what God wants. For Sharish Noisifu, but there's another root, Humash Adam writes, is what a person wants. That's also another root to creation. A root in creation, rather. In other words, your want is a very important root also. So, Masha Boyre Oilem Roitza, Ze Oilem Echad. What Hashem wants is one world. Umasha Hani Shel Ha'adam Roitza, Betivo, Ze Oilem Bifnatzvo. And what the eye of the person naturally wants, that's a world of itself as well. And the gap between God's wanting and our wanting is usually the reason why people are so unhappy with what God does to us. Because what God does to us is not what we want. Right? So that's where the problems exist. Right? We want to have the guy, like we said before, wants the money. Who wants more than anything else? He wants money. And Hashem says, that's not what I want for you more than anything else. I want you to be a person who's close to me. So then Hashem sees that your involvement in the money is taking you away from him. You don't even talk to him anymore. You talk to your money all day long. So now, what does Hashem have to do eventually? If he loves you and he really cares about you, he's going to take that money away from you. Right? So now you look at God and says, what's wrong with you? You hate me. Why? Because you took away my life. Now, God knows when to take away our lives. He knows when it's getting to the point where, I've tried a lot of other things. I gave you good teachers. I put you next to good people. And you're not getting the message. So now I got to take some drastic actions. But you can understand, that's why people are unhappy, because we have our world and God has his world. So imagine when God takes away something from us that we feel is they're going to kill us. Right? Sometimes he has to take us to, money rehab. And the only way to give us rehabilitation is to take it all away from us. Because he sees how you're abusive to your kids, how your marriage is terrible, and this and that and everything else. You don't learn, you don't do anything, you're acting almost like a goy, but you have a kippah on. Right? So since I got nothing left with this guy. But this guy's going to get into Olam Haba, I got to take away all his money. And we're upset because you took away my life. That's why people are angry at Hashem. So, Maver Bein Olam Shel Hani L'Olam Masha Beire Reitze. So the difference in the world of the eye versus the world of what Hashem wants. Hulo Maver Chad. It's not just, to pass from one world to the other. It isn't like one train stop. It's not an immediate, sudden transition. So Mavar Bahadraga, it's a transition that has to take many, many steps. Ube'etzem Zel Mahalach Shel Kol Chayolam. Really, this is the process of every human being's life. In this world. We're born in this world with the eye very far away from Hashem. The end, the goal is by the time you leave this world, that you should be in God's world. That's how it has, that's what life is all about in one line. Aval kesha'adam, he's biting l'mashal im lo'olo lechol. So now, back to the person who has to reflect, for example, if he should eat, he should not eat. Yesh l'kach shnei mabatim. There's two ways to look at this. Ha'echad, one is, ma ha'kadosh baruch hu roitza. What does Hashem want? Vasheni, and the second one is, ma ani roitza. What do I want? So now you look at that pastry, Friday night at 10 o'clock at night. You've already had a gezunta Shabbos meal, and you're really not hungry. You look at that pastry Friday night, and you got it. And the question now is, does Hashem want me to eat that pastry? Or do I want to eat this pastry? You say, I want to eat the pastry, okay? So now you got to ask yourself another question. What does Hashem want? Okay, now we understand what Hashem wants. Now let's understand, what is it that you want? Right? So, you know, there's all kinds of other examples that we could give. You know, somebody is in shul next to you and starts talking to you during Chazaras Hashatz. You know, it's someone not as strong as you are, right? Someone starts talking to you in Chazaras Hashatz. So you got to ask yourself, what does Hashem want? What do I want? So you really want to answer because you want to be a nice guy. You don't want to seem to be too frum. You know, people don't like people that tell them that you can't talk during davening. It's like, it's really like, you're weirdo. So you want to be liked. You want to be part of the crowd. You want to fit in. You want to blend in. And this guy's talking to you. You want to be nice. You're a nice guy. You can't say no to people. So you want to say something. But on the other hand, what does Hashem want? Right? So, and you very much want to talk. So, all these things, you very much want to hear the Lashon Hara. Right? But Hashem doesn't want you to. So, that's the real question. So that is the issue. Rachel of Lavar Asom Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The first thing you got to clarify is, what does Hashem want? Ubemilim Pshut said in simple words, Zeh Yetzer Tov. This is what we call the Yetzer Tov. V'chein Lavar Asom Haros. Then you got to know what you want, and generally speaking, that's the Yetzer Hara. The Danish at 10 o'clock on Friday night is only Yetzer Hara. Now, of course, Yetzer is very clever. He says, "What do you mean? It's a mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. You have to enjoy the Shabbos." And the truth is, I will not enjoy the Shabbos. I do not have this pastry. So that's all the Yetzer Hara needed. You're done with Einik Shabbos. It's the killer. So okay, Einik Shabbos. But why can we eat four pastries now? I couldn't control myself once I started. You know, it's all God's fault, because it wouldn't be a mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. I would be asleep by now, right? So whatever. But that's how the Yetzer Hara works, right? So you know. That's what the pasuk says in the end of Malachi, where he says, you know, it goes through a few pasuk I don't have in front of me. It goes like the Navi is talking to us, and he's expressing the views of the Jewish people, and he's saying, the Jewish people are saying, Hashem, what do you expect from me? Do you expect me to sacrifice my firstborn for you? In other words, he's kind of describing how the Jews feel living as good Jews. You know, this religion is asking too much from me. Bechori, Pishi, do you want the firstborn of my sin? In other words, I have to do tshuva. You know what tshuva is going to do? It's like I got to kill my kid. And Navi says, Madam, man, what does Hashem want from you? Just to act asos mishpat, do justice. And to do chesed, v'atznei alecha sim Hashem alkechem, and walk modestly with HaKadosh Baruch. That's all I want. So if you look at the Navi, like the Navi, it shows you the dichotomy of what the person thinks tshuva requires, and what the Navi says, what it really is. It says, you expect me to be a good Jew? It's impossible. I'd have to kill my son. And this mom is so true nowadays. Sometimes, you got people, you know, got older people who want to become frum. Their kids think they're crazy, you know, and they want to, you know, get all their money out of their will before they, you know, they die, because they're afraid they're going to give it to tzedakah. You know, it's like, you lost your kids. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my family to be Jewish, right? I can't live this way, right? Some says, listen, all, what do you think I want? Listen, man, I made you. What do I want you to do? I want you to be a mensch. You know, asos tzedakah, do righteous things, you know, live according to the law, do what's naturally a human being should want to do. And if you realize one thing, that's the last words of the last Navi. hatsneh, walk with tznius, with Hashem. In other words, don't worry about everybody else, just go with Hashem. That's all Hashem wants. And the truth is, it really is not so hard. And the truth is, it is the best thing for you. But from man's perspective, when he's so sunk in the eye of a different world, it's two different worlds. So what are you telling me? You want me to get into the Fermi world? It's a crazy world. But that's the real world. And the truth is, deep down in your deepest part of the Neshama, that's really what would be the best thing for you, and you'd be the happiest person with that. But now, but you say, no, no, what I want is this world, and this world, I can't live without this world. So that's what the Navi Yismam is saying. Let me just do one more paragraph, then I'll take a question. Two more paragraphs, okay? And then we'll finish this little section. Then we'll take the questions. And he acknowledges this. He says, Kosher ma'od la'adam la'tseis me'mahalach adei shom. It's very hard for a person to go with this mahalach, with this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes akach. Hashem wants this. And he writes acheres. I want the opposite. And what's the guy got to do now? And the truth is, the guy's got a good guilty conscience. He's got a good Jewish conscience. Avater al masha nirotza. I'll let go on what I want. I'll be mavater. Right? What's the English word for mavater? To forego. I will forego with what I want. Vesa masha kadosh baruch hu writes. I'll do what Hashem wants. You know, I won't eat the Danish now. Zoe mamish mesiris nefesh. This is mamish mesiris nefesh. Because again, you know, the nefesh, as he will explain in the next section, is equated with ratzon, with your desire. So I got to give up what I want. Not everyone is able to elevate himself to such a level to mamish be meiser nefesh for what he wants. Now, really, everyone else looks at this guy, what's the matter with you? It's just a Danish. It's just a Danish. Can't you live without this Danish? You're already 50 pounds overweight. What's the matter with you? He doesn't see that at all. He says, I have to live with this Danish. I can't live without the Danish. And then to give up the Danish, you don't realize what you're asking me to do? So, you know, you think this is funny. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's like you see people, they can't, you know, you can't go to a kiddush without fressing. You know, they can't do it. Or anything else. To stop speaking Lashon Hara. As we well know, when we tell certain people, you know, I don't want to be with you if you're going to talk Lashon Hara, so they don't want to be with you anymore. Even if they're very close to you. Very close to you. Says, you know, you used to be a fun person. Now I can't stand being with you. You know, at least when you're with us, don't talk Lashon Hara. You're only with us. You're only visiting us an hour or two a week. Can't for tours, you can't talk Lashon Hara. They can't. They can't, because they mamish can't. You understand? So then what are you supposed to do? So one or two things. Either you better not hang around them. If you have to hang around them, then you have to start working on shifting their attitudes. And you might not. And it's in some ways a very difficult situation. Right? That's why we have all these kinds of strong bias problems. You have one spouse who has one thing that they live for, another spouse has another thing they live for, and it's in conflict. You have one spouse that he lives for his covet, or she lives, but usually it's he. He lives for his covet, right? And you have another spouse, she lives, I'm just stereotyping now, just to make it easy in that. I'm not saying all women, chas v'shalom. And she lives to look pretty. Now, for her to live pretty costs him a lot of money. Now, she has to have the best fitness trainer at $100 an hour. You know, she has to spend 3 hours to make her face look beautiful. Like, she's, you know, and that drains him of his cash. Now, his cash is his covet. You know, because she's an expense man. She's a liability. You know, every month, $2,000 on this. This is getting crazy. I mean, he makes a good parnasa, but not that good. So, and how does he view her silliness? Now, for her, if she doesn't look beautiful, and you have people like this, she doesn't look beautiful, she'd rather die. Him, if he doesn't have a big bank account, he'd rather die. Now somebody's got to die. Do you understand? So for her to give in for a day or a week to cut down on this, she's miserable. The guy sees the bank account going down, he's miserable. How are you going to solve it? You ain't. You can't. The only way you're going to solve this is you got to teach her that, you know what, looking so beautiful is not such a big priority in life. And him having a big bank account in life is not the big priority in life. And then all of a sudden, the area of conflict will stop. Not all of a sudden. It'll take years to go, to explain to them both ways. They're living for the wrong thing. I'm just giving you one example only to show you where what I live for and what you live for are in such great conflict. That's the whole issue of shalom bayis. It's the whole conflict over here. You know, a guy lives for 22, 25, 28 years, and this is what I would die if I don't have it. This woman living this way, she would die if she doesn't have it. And guess what? Somehow wasn't in the discussions while they were going out. You know, and now, boom! You know, so that's now there's going to be a very painful learning process. Either you're going to get divorced, or you're going to learn to change your attitudes in life. That's the real key to all shalom bayis issues. If you want, to have marital counseling, all this narishkeit, I mean, you know, it's okay, you know. Okay, learn to control your temper. That's a nice thing also. But the bottom line is, the clever psychologist, the frum psychologist say, don't you see that you're living for money? So let's talk about that. And that could take months and years for a person has to get the right hashkafa. You know, money is not the most important thing. You know, you could have self-esteem without money. And I'll show you how you can have a better self-esteem and how God would look at you differently. That's the frum way of solving the problem here. You know, okay, then there's also, I'm not saying there's not techniques of compromise and techniques of, you know, this turn taking, you know, 1 week she'll spend money on the next week she won't spend. One week you could look at the bank account, 1 week you don't look at the bank account. Those are all just, you know, negotiating skills. You know, but it doesn't solve the problem. The real problem, and that's where all the shalom bayis problems exist. Right? So let me just one more prayer. Hatsura hayoser pshuta l'chol b'neim. What's the simpler way to deal with this? We don't want to, you know, that's why shalom bayis, stop this. I can't. So each one's dying. So it's not, and even if you do, so that's how it says, okay, I'll give in. Ooh, has you written the biggest IOU note in the history of the world? Do you understand what giving in means? He says, I gave you my life. What are you going to give me now? Now, once the guy, and if you do give in, but you haven't really changed your attitude. You know, you've blown $5,000 in this last 2 months on your good looks. I'm just giving an example, right? So now the guy, I was Moiser Nefesh. So now there's a record of that in your accounts. You know, she owes me big time. And now there's a heightened expectation that she has to provide me with a similar Mesiris Nefesh. And guess what? She isn't. So now you're doubly upset. First of all, you're upset that she wastes your money. She takes away your covet and doesn't appreciate the Mesiris Nefesh you gave for her. Now, of course, she can't because she can't give in on it. You know, and then she'll give in on one, and now of course everybody's keeping score in a different way. You know, and then she says, you know, okay, I'll skip the beauty parlor this week. And now she figures she was the biggest motion ever. So the guy's saying, it's the least you could do. So instead of wasting $5,000 this month, you only wasted $3,000. Still was a waste. So now all this expectation of appreciation for the Mesiris Nefesh, better I don't want your Mesiris Nefesh. And that's what Hashem doesn't want, your Mesiris Nefesh. Can you imagine? You say, okay, I'm not going to cheat in business today. And I'm not going to cheat in business tomorrow. Do you know what temptations I had? And I'm not going to say, oh, sorry. So God, you owe me a lot. Who says God owes you anything? And then God does certain things you don't like. Whoa, are you really upset with Hashem now? You know, what does Hashem want? Change your attitude and don't be Mesiris Nefesh. Hashem doesn't want you to kill yourself to be a Yid. Just change your attitude. So that's what he says, Atzura Yosir Pshuta Lechoba de Ogum. The simpler fashion for everybody, he lanasos lahazbir laani, she yirtses masha kodesh baruchu rotsa, lolichbos al haani levatal kodesh baruchu. The simpler thing is to try to explain that the I should want what Hashem wants and not to force the I to give in to HaKodesh Baruchu. We gotta explain to the guy, listen, you really want what Hashem wants. Let me try to explain it to you. Let me try to explain to you why you should really want what Hashem wants. Instead of giving in to what Hashem wants. Vadish is Emes, that's the truth. But in the step by step of the process, Adam Tsurach Lavor Baderch Mu says, you gotta go in a founded way lo kvitzus, and don't jump. That's the biggest danger, is when the person becomes a quick bal tshuva, because there's so many expectations, and the person's going way beyond what he can do.